Alright, continuing Perek Nun Aleph. V'ulai yikshilacha. Perhaps you will find it difficult. Ma'inyin ha'aniyus el ha'cheirus. There seems to be an oxymoron happening over here. We're talking about matzah representing freedom, and yet it's being referred to as aniyus. V'halo shnei ha'feichim heim ha'cheirus v'ha'aniyus. Halo dover ze ein kasha. Answer is, it's not difficult. Ki ha'aniyus b'atzmo hora al ha'geula. The concept of aniyus informs us or speaks to geula, salvation, redemption. She'ein inyin ha'geula rak she'yotza Ve'ein lo shum siruf el zulaso. The one leaves from, the implication is, leaves from somebody else and does not even have any being entangled with someone else. Your free man means you do whatever it is that you need to do and you feel is the right thing to do. Lo kamo.
So he's saying, intrinsic in the idea of geula is a yotze from something else. From a lesser state.
From entanglement with some other thing.
Right. Which is fascinating. Okay, I never thought about that.
Yeah. Where your own existence is somehow entangled with something else and is therefore defined by it, limited by it, etc.
It makes sense. So freedom is defined.
Freedom is you are what you are.
Why does he say that hafeichem? Aeneas is not a fechem to geula.
That was the kasha. The kasha was a seemingly poor people. Kasha is a seemingly poor people are reliant on other people.
Yeah, but sorry. Cheirus is not the opposite of Aeneas. Ashirus is the opposite of Aeneas.
That's true. The literal polar opposite of Aeneas is Ashirus. But
you could have gone with Abdus. That's not what we call it. We don't call it. Like
no, but we have these two things that we're lining up
right
over here. One is it's called lechem oni, and on the other hand, it represents freedom.
Right.
So he's saying they're not polar opposites, but they do seem to be partially opposite, because usually poor people. Well, no, the kasha is already over. Now we're in the Teretz. So in the kasha is that seemingly poor people are usually reliant upon other people and therefore are not free to do whatever they want.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So that's the kasha.
Okay.
The Teretz is in Lomdus, he's actually saying that practically that is true, but in Lomdus it's actually Anius and Gula do work out very nicely together.
Okay.
And how is that? So he's saying, let's just understand what geula is. Geula is not being happy. Geula is not, you know, having food to eat. Geula is not being able to sleep in whenever you want to. That's not geula. Geula is where you are not entangled with some other existence. Where your existence is defined by itself and not by some outside force or some outside definition to you, even if that force were to be very benevolent and very nice and whatever. Okay? That's number one. V'lokemo ha'eved she'eino omid ba'atzmo. Whereas an eved, no matter how, you know, the eved nirtza, right, he loves his master, he loves his life, he's got a beautiful cottage overlooking the lake, right? So very nice. But he's still an Eved. His definition of his existence is still from his master. Lekach hadover sheyesh bo ashirus eino omed be'atzmo. So now, something which is rich, and we defined rich before as something which has many other appended things onto it. That's what an usher is. An usher is someone who has many things. In addition to himself, he has many things. An ani has just himself. Right? So ashirus ain't no omid batsmo, rak yeshlo tseiruf el kinyono, to his possessions. Ve'ein bezeg ula. So that is not conceptually analogous to geula. Avaldavar sheyeshbo anius, where something which is impoverished, in other words, it is depleted, stripped down to just being itself. Ve'ein lo kinyan. Doesn't have any things that have been added to it. Rak omid batzmo. It just stands by itself. Shai bagula. That is what's related to gula. Ki ilu haya hamatsa shehi lechemoni mora al bnei adam shehem. Bnei chorin haya lecha lishol vahalo ein hanius simon cherus klal. Avalechem oni hazehu boal etzem hayetzia lecherus. Saying if we're talking about people, and this is where he kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? He admits, he acquiesces that to why we asked the kasha in the first place. Yes, you're right. As far as the people are concerned, I'll read it again. Ki'ilu haya hamatza shehi lechemoni mora al b'nei adam, people, shehem b'nei choren. Then hayalecha lishol, then you have what to ask. V'halo ein hanius simon cheres klal. As far as people are concerned, an impoverished person is not a free person because he's reliant upon everyone constantly. But if we're talking about the concepts of poverty and the concept of freedom, then actually those two concepts work very nicely together. Aval lechem.
Why would there be no? Sorry. Why would there be no kasha? If it was only about people.
Look,
it would be a kasha.
That would be a kasha.
But there's no kasha if it's about concepts.
Yes. So let's just read a little bit more, and I'll speak out the whole thing. Aval lechem oni hazeh hu bo'al etzem hayitzia lecherus. This lechem oni is speaking to the process of going out to freedom. Ve'etzam hayetzia lecherus eino ki'im behistalik inyan hatseruf. And what is going out to freedom? It is the removal of of connection, of entanglement. There you are, that's what I was looking for, is the removal of entanglement from other things. Sheloye nimtza hitstarfus klal, there should not be found any entanglement whatsoever. Vekasher ein kan hitstarfus, and when you don't have entanglement, az nimtza geula, that is going out to freedom. Ulefikach
Ukasher inkan starfus az nimsas geula.
Yes.
You have no entanglement.
Then you are free.
Then you are free.
Period.
Did you need to have entanglement at some point?
Nope. So again, so just to speak out the concept. What you got it?
I think so. What kind of entanglement? We have entanglement. Shem, we're talui on him.
That's true, and that's actually why Ezra.
Okay.
It's so true. That's actually why when we go out from our slavery to Paro,
okay,
we go out to become avodim to Hashem. So you're right.
I don't understand.
An eved is someone who is entangled with something else. So yes, our existence is inextricably entangled with Hashem, but so is everything else. And that doesn't really count. And that doesn't really count. That's true. But being that everything, it is inextricably bound up with Hashem, so we'll just kind of put that off to the side for now, right? I mean, someone who is truly free from anything else will necessarily be then at least free to be an eved to Hashem. Which is why we begin the Sefiras HaOmer the very next day, counting towards our full entanglement with Hashem. That's true. But the point is, as far as being free from anything else, let's talk about going out to freedom from any other forces in the world. So if we define Geula as going out to freedom, and freedom is breaking entanglements, breaking this where there's external things to you that are bound up with you and connected with you and are defining you. So then someone who owns a lot of things, he is entangled with a lot of things. And that's not going to be a good symbol for going out to freedom. You know what's going to be a good symbol for going out to freedom? Is someone who's not entangled with anything. He's, what's the expression? He's like the same way he was when he came into this world, right? In his birthday suit, right? That's what he's got right now, and therefore there's nothing but him. It's him and nothing but him. So now again, the moral is agreeing to the kasha that it seems to be counterintuitive, because a poor man is constantly having to go around and rent himself out to work, and potentially becomes an indentured servant or whatever it is, right? Or certainly reliant on people. Some rich man says to him, okay, you're going to go and, sit over here for the next 10 hours and then I'll give you a piece of bread, right? You're going to go spin this wheel over here, right, for the next however much time, and then I'll give you this. And the poor man has to do that. So he's kind of has to follow other people's instructions, etc., where the rich man can do what he wants, seemingly. So it's true. As far as the people are concerned, a poor person does not represent a free person. A rich person is much more similar to a free person. But as far as the concepts of poverty and freedom, or wealth and freedom, the concept of poverty is actually very well linked up with freedom. Poverty is when there's nothing but yourself, and freedom is when there's nothing but yourself.
I'm puzzled why he's conceding the kasha. Because we're talking about being shayach for gula. An ani is always shayach for gula. Right?
What do you mean?
He's sitting on. I'm an ani. The rich man tells me to go spin this wheel for 10 hours. God then comes and says, stop. I say, great. I'm off. I don't have any possessions. I don't have anything that is keeping me down. I'm ready to go. Asher Ain came by someone who's an usher. Hashem's like this. We're going. Okay, can I take off? Can I hang out? Let me just pack all my things and get my and put in. So that, okay. Got all the camels. We're ready to go.
Oh, so Noah is saying, that, which is something that actually some of the philosophers, some of the big philosophers, Greek philosophers, used to believe that actually only a person who is happy with his poverty, he's poor and he's happy with it, can be free. Why? Because if you have any possessions you have, so you're bound up to those possessions. If you don't have any possessions, then you just you can go wherever you want. There's nothing keeping you.
Or you could be Jewish.
Where you are.
You say these possessions are not really mine, and if Hashem wants me to leave, I'll leave.
Exactly. So That's the answer to your kasha. That's
say.
The answer to your kasha.
Sure,
easy to
say.
Harder
to do, for sure. That's
right. Someone came and stole your house.
Yeah, okay, for sure, easy to say. But yeah, but yes, 100%. But in concept, right? Idea is that we're working towards the idea that if someone came and said, "No, you gotta go. Can't get your house from you. You'd be like this." Oh, okay. Not my house.
Okay. Right. So Noah has a point that there is a certain the freedom of mobility. You'll say a person, the more person has in this world, the more bound up he becomes with it. It's harder for him. You know, that's why the Shlo says people shouldn't build nice houses in Chutzlarts, because then it's going to be more difficult for them when time comes to go to Eretz Yisrael, when the Gula comes. They're going to be like, wait, but I've got this really nice house that I worked so hard to make. So I don't want to leave it. Right? So if the whole time you're living in rent, so then, you know, I paid last month's rent, and that's it. I'm gone.
Oh, also planning for Pesach. Wasn't there some gadol who saw the houses in America? His first reaction was, how do they plan for Pesach?
Could be.
What?
Chaim Kanievsky.
I also Chaim.
When they, during the Hurricane Sandy, when all these houses are destroyed, and they're telling these giant houses, and they're telling about these houses, like, how's it possible to plan for Pesach?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
That was my first reaction.
So, okay.
Just to kind of put a final point about it, he's saying it's shaykh to the Gula, right?
Mamar is saying that if you want to talk practically, so practically a poor man is very much reliant on other people, practically. Every day he has to go to somebody, and whatever that person says, that's what defines his life, etc. Whereas a rich man can practically, actually, seemingly has a lot of freedom, right? But conceptually, poverty is being by yourself, and freedom is being unto yourself. Whereas shibud is being entangled with other things. Good?
I'm good.
Okay. Tziva lecho lechem oni. That's why Hashem commanded us to eat bread of poverty. Shehu hamatza b'leil hayitziya. So that's why even before we left, we're still in Mitzrayim, and Hashem said to us, you're going to be there, you're going to be sitting. Eat matzah, right? So on the day that you're leaving. Bavur she'ein b'matzah rak etzem halachem. In other words, Hashem was hinting to us already that, hey guys, you're about to, you see this bread over here? I want you to eat this bread. I want you to taste what this thing tastes like, because this is by itself. This poor bread is not entangled with anything else. That's what's going to be happening to you soon. You're going to be going out to freedom soon, right? Because all there is over here is the etzem halechem, rak etzem halechem, v'lo yitztarev bo davar. Has no other things entangled with it. Eating is a very palpable way of relating to. You can look at the matzah, you can feel the matzah, you can smell the matzah. Right? You can rub it onto your skin, right? But a much more visceral way to connect to it is to eat it, to taste that unadulterated, simple flavor of dough, baked dough, just bread, nothing but bread. And you're like, wow, this is just bread. I'm not used to eating just bread. I always have something else with my bread. This is just bread. I'm not used to thinking of myself as being by myself. I'm always thinking of myself as Noach Siegel Esquire, owner of the pink house in what? Salmon color house on the Wall Street, right? The chazan, whatever it is. No, just I am who I am. That's I am.
Don't eat it with salt.
Question is if salt is called adding anything. It's a different discussion. But certainly don't add any. If you want lachamoni, then you cannot add, not, certainly not chometz. You cannot let it be machmetz, but you can't even add to it oil, eggs, honey, all those types of things. Okay? Vehu kamoni. So this bread is like a poor person. Kedeshi lo ye nimtza klal shum tziruf belaila. Because on this night we don't want any things that are entangling the existence of something else. Shabo gula, because on this night we're focusing on gula, on being unto oneself. Ve'oz yikne ha-geula, so then we'll be able to acquire the geula. Shehu silu katsiru, because that is what a geula is. Geula is being unto yourself. Removal of the entanglement. Aval matzah shira, but rich matzah, eno yotzeba, but it is not going to fulfill that obligation. Bavur ki yesh lozos hamatzah tseruf, because this matzah has other things mixed in with it. Vehu hamashka shenazan bo, the meperos, the juice, or the honey, like we said, the person mixed into it. Ve'en kan geula, so that is not a proper bread to allude to geula.
Like this, that concept. Odd juxtaposition, because the rest of the Seder is focused on, you're supposed to have your finest kalim, supposed to, I believe, drink very nice wine.
Right.
I mean,
very good.
So he has not resolved the kasha. There's still a kasha between
no, so I think, so Ezra is asking a very good question. We're reclining, we're eating fancy meat, and we're eating fancy meat. We're eating, fancy wines, etc., right? So that's. And why do we do all those things? Because we're behaving as Bnei Choren. We're behaving as Bnei Choren.
Right.
So what's the answer to your kasha?
Bnei
Choren. Remember, he agreed to the kasha. If you're comparing a Ben Choren to a Ani or an Asher, you're right. A Ben Chorin is more similar to an Usher. That's why you bring out your finest Kalim, etc., etc. But if we're comparing Geula to Ashirus or to Anius, so then it's actually Anius, which is more similar to the Geula. So that's why there's going to be this big distinction. As for this bread is Lechem Oni, it's bread of poverty. So poverty, this is bread of salvation, of freedom. But when we conduct ourselves as Bnei Koran, you're right, we're doing it like rich people.
Is why is the matzah davka the one item that does not fit in the olam gashmi, but it's only the olam ruchni? Why not the four kosos of yayin are also connected to geula? So why are those more physical, but matzah lives in this conceptual realm?
It's a good question. So I think that the difference is, if I may use a lomdush term,
okay.
Difference in gavra and heftz. Right? You've heard. Shnei dinim, gavra and heftza. No, you know what that is? I mean, the distinction was made famous by Rav Chaim Brisker, but it pre-existed him all the way back to the Gemara, obviously, and the Maharal is famous all the time for making this distinction. So the point is the mitzvah on the person or on the item? Usually that would be the distinction, right? So that's something when you're learning Shmaisa, learning Sugis, often makes a difference how you understand something. Okay? So in other words, if it's the point that you should be currently behaving as a free person, then you drink fancy wine and eat fat meat. The point is that the bread, this bread is a bread of freedom, then it should be an item which is a pure single item. Gavra and Hefza. Gavra, person, Hefza, item.
And therefore,
right. And from this you can understand Mashaya Geulosum Bechodesh Rishon. Now you can understand why we were redeemed specifically in the first month Davka. Vizet. Ki ein Geula Rak Kasher Nivdul Mizuloso. I think we've heard that already once or twice or five times, right? That's what the Maharal's been saying this whole time. Geula is to be unto yourself, not to be entangled with someone else, not to be connected to something else, right? V'hu omeid batzmo, and standing unto yourself, by yourself. U'mizeh, tavo geula, that is salvation. So now, v'hachodesh harishon, ein bo, his chabrus zman rashi rishon. So, assuming that years actually make a difference, there's a difference between 1 year and the next, right? There's obviously, what does that mean? It means it's like a, okay, you know, it's a reset, right? New year, okay. Now, you know, new opportunity to replay all those situations, right? Maybe last year summer I didn't manage to have a proper summer. This year I'm going to do it again, right? Maybe this time I'm going to do it. Summer. Or spring or fall or whatever. The model will later tell us, in fact, that that's why it's called a shana. Shana, a year. It's called a shana. Why? Because you get to, first of all, it's to repeat, but it's also to change. The shanot, those two roots are related. And seemingly it's a little bit almost opposite, but it's not. Because when you redo something is when you can change it. You can't change it if you never redo the thing. Right? Like a true balchuva. What's a true balchuva?
You shoot a basketball and you miss.
No, I'm thinking Lishna is also similar.
What?
Lishna, what was Lashon? Shouldn't it?
No, the lamed over there is a part of the root. So, the Rambam says in Hilchos Shuva, right, that if a person messed up and went and did an Aveira, right? So yes, you regret and this, but when does your Shuva actually become a Shuva Gemura? When is it that you literally manage to change that mistake?
When you're in the same situation again.
Exactly. It comes back around again, right? The same thing, right? Last year, summer break, whatever it is, wasted a bunch of time, played chess, so now I have to wait until next year again, and then, same situation, summer break, and I don't waste all that time playing chess, now I managed to change that, right? So the point is, so Shana is to repeat and to change. So, every month in the year, there's certain causality. There's a reason why, if we are currently in a 12th month, 13th maybe, right? Other Sheni. It's numbered that way because this month now is the product of the 11 or 12 preceding months, right? Whenever you number something, whenever you count something, the reason why one of them is called number one, and the other one's called number two, is because number two follows number one. So it doesn't just follow chronologically, but also follows it in causality, right? Like whatever happened exactly. Whatever happened the first month now, to a certain extent, leads into the second month. So the second month, therefore, is not a free month unto himself. Second month really is, to a certain extent at least, a byproduct of the first month. Okay. So it's not free. The second month is not truly free unto itself. It is the product of the first month, which is why Nisan is called Rosh HaChadoshim. Rosh, the head. The head leads. And I don't mean that when you walk, you lean your head forward and kind of like who walks like that? Like a penguin or something? Which creatures walk with their head like a penguin?
Bipedal? I don't know.
All right.
Biped.
Right. Anyway, but the point is not because we're leaning our head forward. The point is that things are initiated from the head and then make their way downwards, hopefully at least, right? Ramosh Shapiro, the Yitzhak Levrocha, used to joke that that's why Hashem put your head on top. So that first thing you do is you think about things. Then afterwards you act. Nowadays, people don't like to think about anything. If they have any questions, they just run to a gadol. He said, if Hashem were to ask him questions. She said, if Hashem were to make man again now, he would put feet on top of his head.
Every gadol would say, ask more shaylos.
Oh yeah, I know this. Rav Moshe felt.
Do you tell your kahila ask more shilas, not less?
Step number one is to think about things a lot. Okay.
Yeah, he's
now,
fair enough.
Yeah. Now, afterwards, you want to go and discuss. No problem. But you come, Rabbi. What should I do? Well, what are your thoughts? I don't know. I don't have any thoughts. I just want you to look into your crystal ball and tell me what I should do. Yeah, here, I'll write it on a piece of paper. You could do your magic thing with it. Or it's like, well, why do you think Hashem gave you Das? Why do you think Hashem put you into this world? Oh, is to actually think about yourself and think about your purpose in life. Now, afterwards, taking Eitzes, it's a different story. But that's afterwards. This first you think, and then afterwards you go to consult. Not you go to consult right away. That was Rav Moshe's Musar. Okay, so says the Maharal, now you understand why it's Davka in Nisan, Rosh HaChadoshim, it's the head of the months. Why? Because it's the first month. So being the first month, it's the month that is free from any previous months. We had a restart, rebooted the computer, right? Now we're starting again. So it's a truly liberating time.
We've covered this before in separate contexts, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure I understand. Why don't we do our yearly Cheshbon HaNefesh Adar in anticipation of Nisan, as opposed to in Elul in anticipation of Tishrei?
The answer is
because
there's a machlek, it's in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And we come out that Elu Velu Jivelu Kim Kaim. The world was created in both in Tishrei and in Nisan. In Tishrei it was created in Machshava, and in Nisan it was created in Maisa.
So if you're thinking about a yearly Cheshbon Nefesh, shouldn't that be when the year clicks? And if you want to do a monthly Cheshbon Nefesh, shouldn't you do that every single month, not specifically Elu or Adar?
That's already Ari's explaining, but I just want, before we jump to that, Ari's already explaining, so why, which one, what's the, but first and foremost, just to recognize, the year has two beginnings, right, and therefore, I mean, in other words, there is, so Nisan, everything about Nisan is in Maisa, that's why there's actual causal going out to Gula. As opposed to, I mean, again, we have all those Shurim, Yom Kippurim, Kippurim, right? Yom Kippur and Purim are those analogs and the salvation from Haman and from the Satan, right? And the one is spiritual, one is physical. A lot to be said, but not for now.
We don't seem to do any bits of like overt tshuva in Adar.
Answer. I mean, listen, all months are good to do tshuva, especially before every Rosh Chodesh. It's very good to do tshuva. That's the concept of Yom Kippur Katan. But the big distinction is because Nisan comes from the side of Maisa. So the big effort that we do in Nisan in preparation for Pesach is... Exactly, Pesach cleaning. So that's how we're removing the Yetzer Hara that way, in preparation for Tishrei. We're doing a internal Yetzer Hara cleaning. Make sure your wife comes to the Neshei Shir. For Pesach cleaning, deeper meaning to Pesach cleaning.
What is that?
Coming up to be announced, hopefully this week. Hopefully this week. Okay. Let's try to get to a stopping point. So, since this Chodesh is Rishon She'ein Bo Hischabru Zman Rak Shehu Rishon, Ki HaChodesh HaSheini Bavur Shehu Sheini Yesh kan chibur zman. So the second month already would be connected to the previous one. Ve'ein ze roi ela geula sheyeh omid batzmo. It wouldn't be the right month for geula. Klal hadaver. So the overarching principle over here that we see, kol inyan hageula histalkus mizulah. So it's all breaking away from somebody else. La'amud batzmo, to stand by yourself. V'lo yelahem tziruf. V'chibur el zulas, and there's not any entanglement and attachment to something outside themselves. V'davar zeh ra'ui shiyeh b'chodesh rishon, is appropriate to be in that first month. Ki hadavar shenis hava misyaches el hazman shenas bo osa havaya. So obviously any process that comes about is very much linked to the time in which it comes about. So the geula is going to be happening in that time. It's not a coincidence. Oh, who cares when the geula happens? What's the difference? What time? As long as it's a geula, no. If you want the geula to be right, it's got to be in the right time. If it's going to be a geula shlema, then it has to be in a zman that's mesugal, that has a unique spiritual characteristic of being appropriate for geula. Ulefikach hazman shehu rishon. Therefore, the month, which is the first month, ve'ein bo chibur v'tziruv zman, chibur v'tzibur, comma, zman miyuchad l'geula. That time is a time that is uniquely appropriate for geula. She'geula hi shenivdol mizulaso ve'ein lo shum tziruv el zulaso. U'mizet havin ki hakaza hu kipshuto. Shivas yamim tochel alav matzos. Now you're going to be able to read the pasuk simple and straight. For 7 days you shall eat matzos, lechem oni, bread of poverty. Ki b'chipazon yatzasa mimitzrayim, because very quickly you left Egypt. Pirush, shetoichel lechem oni, you have a mitzvah to eat this bread of poverty, shehu alechem haomed beatzmo, that the bread is something that stands by itself, ve'ein lo histarvus el zulasu, v'lama tochel zeh, so why do you do that, zeh alechem, ki b'chipazon yatzasa mi mitzrayim.